okay? Been working on a long time, but chapter number 13. Now, while you're turning and while I'm walking and talking, I'm going to turn on the projector, and we're going to, hopefully we'll get this for everybody, okay, Brother Jonathan? We're gonna go to the, it might take it a minute to warm up, but we'll get there. And let's see. Yeah, there it comes. We got it. Like an old car. Okay. All right. We thought we would do this to give you an idea. Those of you that's been here, we've had this map already given out, and we're just following the pathway that the missionary journey that Paul is taking. We've been following it, okay? Started out here in Antioch, went to Seleucia, then they went over to the island here of Cyprus, and now they have moved, gone through to the area of Pamphylia and gone up to Antioch in the area of Galatia. That is where Paul is currently in chapter number 13. He's made this journey, and they've determined he and Barnabas set out together. The church had designated them, prayed over them, and sent them with the message out of the Word of God. And as they sent them, they were establishing churches and finding people in this area and seeing that those folks found out about the salvation of the Lord. So you've got that map there. That gives you a little bit of idea. It's just easier for me, hopefully for you also, to follow somebody. And the way the Bible speaks, sometimes you don't know exactly, and I don't know exactly where we're talking about, what we're talking about, but as you can see, this is still modern-day Syria. This area over here would still be the area of Turkey, coming on over towards Greece. You're coming this way towards the European setup now, but in that day and that time when Paul and Barnabas were the missionaries, that's what the areas were called. You see the different areas as they're laid out. They're laid out in by the Roman government in these different places set up: Phrygia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Pamphylia. They're all laid out in these areas. So when you see those names in your Bible, it might mean a little bit better something to you. Okay, so there it is. We're here in this city, and it's called Antioch. Also, you've got an Antioch here. Got an Antioch here. They're the same name, but it's two different places, okay? And this one is designated as Antioch Pisidia in your Bible and in all the historical notes. But anyway, we're looking at verse number 44 where we left off last week. Paul has been preaching, and things have been happening, and Paul went into a synagogue, and he began to preach to the Jews that were there. And as he began to preach to them, the Holy Spirit of God moved on that thing, and there was folks getting saved. But it wasn't just Jewish people. There were Gentiles that were also getting saved. And you're going to see tonight when these things happen, it says that when the meeting broke up, you look in verse 43, it said when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Nothing wrong with that. But look at verse 44. It said, And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you again for blessing us, giving us this time and this hour to study and be in the Word of God. And I pray now you add your blessings to everything that's said and every word that's uttered and every heart that is here. I pray we'd be opened and hear from the Word of God tonight. And I pray you just get honor and glory out of it. And again, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, let's look, if you will, here in these few verses, 44 down through verse 52. And as I say, that'll finish this chapter. It's one of the longer chapters, and it is, the length of it has a lot to do with the fact that Paul is preaching in this chapter. Paul is preaching. He's preaching to this group of people in this city, in Antioch of Pisidia, as he is there and preaching to them. There's some notable things that happen, and I guess the most notable is that there were the Gentiles being saved. And now you understand, you and I do now, that was the mission that God had sent them on to start with. Now, obviously, there were a lot of Jews here that were in that synagogue, and they didn't quite see it the way that Paul and Barnabas were portraying and hoping to see people saved. And the Jews rebelled. You can see that. But I want you to preach to you tonight, and you think about this, and we're going to call this the final words at Antioch. The final words at Antioch. This is the last little bit of things that happened at Antioch. Now, as I said, Paul has preached, and these people want to hear some more from him. And so he's getting ready to come back the next week and preach to those that want to hear the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Wouldn't it be great for us to get together and hear that there's crowds of folks that want to hear the preaching of the Word of God? And the Bible says here in verse number 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. I mean, that's a statement within itself, isn't it? Nearly the entire city. Now, don't know how big the city was, but it was a major city, and it was on a major route that the Roman government had set out. So this is a pretty notable and large city. And Paul went there with the intention of preaching to the Gentiles, but as his custom is, he first preached to the Jews. And as a matter of fact, you notice he's gone to the synagogue. So here it is. It says, the next Sabbath day, almost everybody in the city's come together to hear the Word of God. Paul started out in the synagogue. This thing may have got too big for the synagogue. We don't know that, but we do know that we've got a little bit of a problem. So first of all, look at this with me, if you will, and notice, let's just call the first point tonight, the cutting knife. The cutting knife. Let's look at the things in this whole little passage of Scripture that we're about to see here in verses 44 and 45. Some things that do some cutting. Some things that do some cutting. And you'll notice this, first of all, I want you to notice the cutting of the gospel. The cutting of the gospel. Do you see that in verse number 44? Hey, what had impacted this city so greatly, it wasn't that Paul was some kind of special preacher. Amen? You know how people are today. Oh, well, so-and-so's preaching, and I'm going to go hear him. Or so-and-so's preaching, and I don't want to hear him. You know, that's the way that people have gotten these days. And I'll be very honest with you. You'll hear that. And I've heard people say, can I tell you, this right here doesn't say they came to hear Paul. Doesn't say they came to hear Barnabas. It said they came to hear the Word of God. And I'm telling you, first of all, you see the cutting and the cutting power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God should have some gospel cutting power behind it. Amen? And you can see that it does. I mean, they had heard these things the week before. Some of them, several of them, many of them. How many we don't know. But they went out and they told somebody else and they said, man, y'all got to come hear the Word of God. Y'all got got to come hear this preaching. You've got to come and hear this doctrine and these words that these men have come. They wasn't magnifying Paul. They weren't magnifying Barnabas necessarily. Brother, they were magnifying the word of God that they were preaching. He said, y'all need to come. This is something that will make a difference in your life. This is something that we've never heard. It sounds strange and it's very different. And we want to hear the word of God. And it says here that almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. I was looking at some historical stuff, and back in, I guess it was the mid to late 1700s, George Whitefield was one of the preachers that brought one of the first great revivals in as the great revival sweeping through America back in those days. And Whitefield preached, and thousands came to hear him. And there was some notation made, and in those days, back in the 1700s, those people would put the messages and the scripture and something about the service, it would be in the local paper. I mean, it would be in the, it made news when some of these men got up, Whitefield, I mean, Spurgeon, Moody, some of these guys come to preach. Man, it'd make the headlines in the newspaper. It don't make too many headlines nowadays, does it? All they want to hear is about some preacher that's messed up. They don't want to hear about some Christian that's failed. They want to hear about some Christian that's made a mess of their life. And boy, they'll put that in the headline, believe me. You see any preacher that does something, gets caught in something, gets caught up in something, and brother, it's going to be on the headlines, right? But in those days, they would publish the word of God. They'd tell you what the preacher preached and what it's all about and how big the crowd was. Well, the report here was from the Boston area. The Boston area, when Whitefield was preaching. And it said there was an estimated, and best estimation were, 23,000 people came to hear Whitefield, George Whitefield, preach. And he didn't have microphones. He didn't have auditoriums of great size. And, of course, I don't know anybody to have an auditorium that big. He had to preach outside, maybe in a venue that was on a hillside or in an amphitheater or some just in a valley, you know, whatever it may have been. But, brother, I'm telling you, he preached the Word of God, and folks got saved. Amen. They went outdoors to hear a man of God preach the word of God. You can't get people to come in and sit on a padded pew today with good heat and air, with a good sound system. I mean, with everything there is. You can't get them to come to God's house. Amen. But I'm telling you, here in that day, can you imagine this? Paul says almost, or Luke writes and says, almost the whole city has come out to hear the word of God. Almost everybody. Well, what is? I'm telling you, they wanted to hear from the Word of God. That's what you and I ought to be doing. I mean, it wasn't, as I said, to hear Paul, hear to Barnabas. They wanted to hear from the Word of God. So, first of all, you see that cutting knife. It was the cutting knife of the gospel. But second of all, notice this: there is the cutting knife of the envy of the Jewish people. Look what it says. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That, hey, you know what? It ain't just today. It was back then too. And you know what? I mean, when you look at this, the local rabbis there in that Jewish synagogue, They invite Paul and Barnabas to say some words and, you know, give a presentation and get the word of God and do as they did with it on the previous week. Now here they are, and all of a sudden the old green-eyed monster of envy pops up, doesn't he? Old jealousy gets them going. Well, they like him better than they like me. Well, it's not that, but I mean, that's the way that they took it. That's the way that they said, oh, well, look what it says. It's with when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now, I think you and I still have to kind of hang on to the idea or understand the idea of what's going on here, okay? You got to get a hold of this idea and realize that these Jewish people are still Jewish. I mean, it's hard to turn loose of some of your old prejudices, isn't it? It's hard to turn loose. In other words, you know what they did? They looked out there and they saw all those folks. Now, the majority of them, there was a group of people in that city that were Jewish, and probably a lot of them, or maybe all of them, came to the synagogue. But now, here comes the whole city. Here comes everybody. And you know who's out there? It's them old dirty, nasty, filthy, sinful folk. If Paul, do you know who you're preaching to here? Amen? Yeah, dogs. I mean, that's what they called them. They're a bunch of dogs. I mean, here they are. And the Jews are getting filled with envy because they've seen these unclean. And you know what? They ain't never been to church down here before. What are they doing here now? I mean, I just don't like that. I mean, that's what they're saying, okay? I mean, hey, and guess what? I've heard echoes of it in 2023. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, folks, we've got folks today. I mean, buddy, they're wandering and they're looking and they're hunting God. And I'm telling you, they come into the church and they might not look like you, and they might not dress like you, and they may not act like you. But brother, I'm telling you, if they're coming hunting God, hey, bring them in and let's let God clean them up and get them saved. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, that's what this thing's all about, anyway, isn't it? I mean, we're trying to reach the law. And here you see, boy, the cutting knife of envy has drawn itself out, though. I mean, you see them, and they are ready to verbally oppose what's going on. It said, when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. And notice that next little phrase. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Boy, they got so wound up. There's the cutting knife of the gospel's doing its job. But then the devil gets out his little cutting knife of envy, and he starts his little job. And I want you to know, there's the cutting knife of those words that are used against Paul and Barnabas. There's the cutting knife there. As I said, you've got these people, they're all tore up. And you know what? You know what you wind up with? You wind up with a problem of the mouth. Amen. You know what we used to call it, don't you? Diarrhea of the mouth. Amen. That's what these guys got, didn't they? I mean, it said they began to say. They would spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. In other words, they came out there and said, y'all don't need to listen to them. What they're telling you is not right. Let me tell you, here's the good old Jewish law. Here's the good old Jewish way. And this is what you ought to believe. You ought to stay with us. And that crowd over there, they don't know what they're talking about. Why? Because they're different than we are. Because we ain't never done it like that before. Somebody say amen right there now. I mean, that's usually what gets everything all stirred up is when you start seeing some things that may have changed from, you know, whatever happened in the days gone by. Amen? Can I tell you, friend, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And Paul and Barnabas, especially when it is this, the gospel that God has anointed them with, sent them forth, said, preach it. Brother, they're headed that way. And that's exactly what they're doing. I'm telling you, here they are. They're saying words against Paul. They're saying words against Barnabas. They're all tore up. They're all upset. They're all in a bad way. And they just, oh, we want them to shut up. As a matter of fact, if we can't shut them up, let's go tell them they're wrong. Amen? Let's just get out here and spread and say, well, don't listen to them. And they said they're contradicting what they said. And they said they're blaspheming the things that Paul and Barnabas said. Boy, that's some scary territory to be in. But they were there, okay? They were there. So first of all, I just want you to notice this. When you're looking at this, you see the cutting knives, if you will, of the gospel. Of envy and jealousy, and of the words. Those words cut. The cutting words that these fellows were using against Paul and against Barnabas. I mean, they were cutting them all that they could. They were trying to hurt them. Amen? And that's what happens today. Amen? I mean, listen, the best thing we can do is tell the truth. Tell the truth, and if it hurts you, then you're hurt. But there'll be somebody else that come along and try to sell you something that ain't true, that's not right, and they'll want you to believe them. They'll try to placate and satisfy and help and, you know, put a little ointment on on that hurt. But thank God, I'm glad Paul and Barnabas just stood up and told the truth. All right? So, second of all, you see the cutting knives that are going. Second of all, I want you to notice this. Notice the courage of the preachers. The courage of the preachers. Look what it says in verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and that thou shouldest be for the salvation, before salvation, unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? Hey, let me tell you, there's some... Oh, Paul just had some courage. I mean, as we like to say, he had courage under fire. He was in the hot seat. He was in a hot spot. But can I tell you, Paul never backed down from anybody. He just got with it and preached the word of God with some boldness. I want you to notice, first of all, the bold case of the preacher Paul. I want you to notice, the Bible says here, and Paul and Barnabas, so they're in Paul and Barnabas, waxed bold. In other words, they stood up to them. They stood up with some confidence. They stood up with some backbone. They stood up with some words that needed to be said, but they just got up and said, listen, we got something we got to tell y'all. Amen? Yes, sir. They got up and said, look, here's what you need to know. Paul knew that he was determined and destined and set by God to be the preacher to the Gentiles. And he was so very firm and so very set. But I want you to know this. What was one of the things that was always on Paul's heart was to preach to his brethren, the Jews. You remember he writes this over in the book of Romans? And he said, men and brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. He said, that's my heart. He said, if it was possible, I wish God would take my name out of the book of life so that they could be saved. Now that's how strong he was on the fact that he wanted the Jews to be saved. I mean, his heart was set on that. But God had sent him to preach and be a light to the Gentiles. But notice what he says. He says it here. As a matter of fact, he said, it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken to, or that should first have been spoken to you. He said, that is the absolute necessity of my preaching. I mean, this is the same Paul that said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Amen? I mean, he understands that this thing was set up and sent out to the Jews. But, just like everywhere else, the Jews have rejected it. And as I said, when you study this and you think about it, you see their anger. I mean, the Jews get angry. But you see Paul is trying to tell them, hey guys, we've tried to tell y'all that and you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear this. This is not anything you're interested in. It's just like some folks today. They're like, I don't want to hear that, preacher. I've heard that all my life, and I ain't getting saved, and you might as well save your breath and forget it, because I don't believe that Bible stuff, and I don't believe in God, and I don't believe... Brother, one of these days they're going to believe, aren't they? One of these days they're going to believe. But I'm telling you, he was determined to go to the Jew first, and he spoke out in a bold and in a confident way. Amen? I mean, that's what he did. He spoke out boldly and confidently. And he said, look, this is what should have happened. I mean, listen, this is the way that it should have been. He said, but look what you've done. He said, you have judged yourself. That word judge means exactly what you think it means. They have made a determination. When you judge something, you determine it, right? You say, well, do I like a Ford or do I like a Chevrolet? Do I like chocolate pie or banana pudding? I say both. But I mean, you know, you got sometimes you got to make a call, right? You got to have a determination on some things. There's a thing to be determined. And Paul said, since you have judged yourselves, he said, you yourselves have judged that you are unworthy of everlasting life. Boy, they better let that soak in, hadn't they? I think today in our world, there's some folks that need to see that. He said, seeing you put it from you. You have put the Word of God away from you. You've set it apart. You've sent it. Said, we don't want it. Amen? I mean, we don't want that. We don't want to hear that. You know, and that's a hard thing for us as Christians to hear somebody else say that sometimes. It's difficult to hear them say they did. We just don't want it. We're not going to have it. But you know what? They're determined. And look how Paul presents this. Paul's not hateful. Paul's not mean. Paul's not, you know, snide with his remarks. Paul is just presenting the truth in a bold and a confident way. He said, since you have decided that this is what you want, you're going to get it. We're going to let you make your... He said, you have determined that you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. He said, lo. See that word, lo? Well, it is, today we generally say behold, or even in the English days you'd hear lo and behold. It is an exclamation. It's a, you know, an exclamation with a double exclamation beside it. I mean, behold. He said, yeah, if that's what y'all want, then look at this, in other words. We turn to the Gentile. If you don't want it, and it's a free gift, and it's the salvation of God, you don't want it, we got somebody over here that does. Amen? I mean, that's exactly what he's saying to them. And he has done this in a bold way. You see the bold case of the preacher Paul. I mean, but second of all, I want you to notice this. Not only do you see the bold case of Paul, I want you to notice that he has a biblical call on his life. Look in verse 47. He said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Paul said, this is our God-given calling. God called us. Now, Paul's a Jewish rabbi, okay? I mean, look at that and realize he is. Paul knows about the uncleanness of the Gentile. Paul knows all those little commands about don't eat with them, don't sit with them, don't mingle, don't have anything to do. He knows every bit of that. But you know what? The Lord saved him and showed him a different story. Amen? Just like I told you, that's what's driving a lot of this. Now that jealousy and that envy is, Paul, how can you go to them old filthy, nasty people that's outside of the Jewish nation? Amen? I mean, I can remember being over in the country of Panama. We went over to the country of Panama, Brother Dwayne Moore. Went over there, and they split all of us up. And there were several of us as preachers. They split us up into different groups, and they said, you're going to go with this one, this one. So I went with this guy that was a pastor in a church in another area away from the main area where we were around Panama City, the capital of Panama. We went out to a little outskirted area. And my wife and I noticed when we got there, man, the houses looked neat. Now, where we were, where Brother Booth, that was our host, where Brother Booth was, and I'm being honest with you, there were people living in chicken coops. They were living in little tin buildings. I mean, it was on a hillside. You've seen some of those pictures that they show sometimes, and you think, wow, that looks rough. Well, that's where we were. But we go out to this place, and there's these nice little orderly homes. They're not huge, but they're nice, and they're clean, and the neighborhood looks neat. And we go through there, and we go to the church. And hallelujah. I still can't speak Spanish, okay? So we go in, and I'm trying to meet people. The pastor has left us. He's got to go do something. So here I am. And I'm walking around as people come in, shaking hands with them and trying, how are you doing? And they're looking at you like, I don't know what you're saying. So anyway, we finally run into this guy and his wife and get to talk to him. The guy's dressed up pretty nice, got on a tie and shirt and nice clothes. Anyway, got to talking to him, and him and his wife are sitting there, and he said, "We speak a little English." And I said, "Praise God, we got somebody we can talk to." So I began to talk with him, and he said, "I'm the principal of the local school." And he said, "And this is my wife," and he introduced her, and she's a doctor. And I thought, well, hallelujah, these people have moved on up. And the whole neighborhood was kind of like that, he said, that you know, he began to tell us about their neighborhood. And anyway, he said, where have y'all been? And I said, we're over here at whatever the name of the little place was, you know. And it was there, Brother Booth. And I said, you know where that is? He said, oh, yeah. And he kind of got a little tentative. And I looked at his wife, and she said, we don't go to that part of town. And I thought, oh. I mean, y'all all in the same part of town to me. And it didn't look any different to me necessarily there than there. The people weren't different, but they didn't go to that part of town. How many times have you said that? How many times have I said that? How many times have we done those things? I told y'all, when I was a kid, and I met the first black person that I met in school, and I can Nathaniel Ward, I don't know if you remember him or not, but I met him, and we became friends, and we were able to speak. And I reached out and shook his hand. When I shook his hand, I pulled my hand back, and I looked at it real good. He said, don't worry, it don't rub off. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you. We got those things built into us sometimes that they're just prejudices built in, and we don't know what to do with them. And these Jewish people here, they didn't know what to do. They had their mind made up, but these Jews didn't deserve God. They didn't deserve salvation. They didn't deserve what was primarily and specifically given to the Jews. They didn't deserve that. And put the nerve of Paul going over here preaching to them. That's exactly what they were thinking. That should not be, is what they're saying. That's why that jealousy. And as I say, they're like, well, they ain't never come to church when we did. They didn't listen to us preach and all that. But Paul had the heart, and Paul had the gospel, and Paul had the calling from God to take this word to those that needed it. Amen? And it says, look, you judge yourselves unworthy. And God's called us to go and preach. He said we'd be a light to the Gentile, and that we should preach about the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. God wants us to go and carry it to everybody. And you know what? Those Jews didn't see it that way, did they? They did not see it. But Paul says, I've got a biblical call. It's a calling of God straight from heaven. The Word of God is on my heart, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen? And then I want you to notice the blessing that this was to the converts. Look what it says. When Paul said that in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. They didn't glorify Paul. They didn't glorify Mark. They said, aren't we glad for the message that has come and how God has saved us? Amen. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Let me tell you, that's a little bit of a complicated statement right there. If you've ever run across that in your Bible, it is a little bit of a complicated. And a lot of folks will take that ball right there and run. Oh, preacher, I just found me a verse in the Bible that says predestination. Well, you might ought to go back and look at it just a little bit better than that. It says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. And I mean, telling you right on the surface, it looks like, well, man, you mean God's picked some of them and he ain't picked up? No. It just says here that those that were ordained to it. Can I tell you something? I don't know who God's picked. I don't know who's going to be. I don't have any idea who's going to be saved. And can I tell you? You don't either. And you didn't know you was going to be saved. And I didn't know I was going to be saved. Can I tell you, I still think it's whosoever will to me and you. God knows. God knows the beginning and the end. He knows every bit of that. But can I tell you this? Brother, you and I don't know a thing about that.
Amen. You're right.
And I believe really that phrase is talking about that it was those that were ordained where it wasn't just the Jews. Paul's got out there among the Gentiles now. And God said, I want them saved too. And there were some of them that got saved, and not all of them, but some of them got saved, and they were ordained to have life eternal through Jesus Christ. Why? Because they believed in him. Amen? I'm just telling you. That's what the Bible is saying, what Luke has written to us here. So here they are. And it says as many, you could say as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. Now, again, I know there's folks that want to debate that. And if you want to study it and debate it and bang your head against the wall, go ahead. But when you can figure out who's going to be saved, and how can you tell me who is and who ain't, and I'm telling you, I didn't know if I was predestined. I didn't know if I was going to be, if that's the case, what in the world did Jesus come for? Why did the Bible say, whosoever will? I mean, what is all of that written? Why in the world, if God knew who he's going to pick and who he wasn't going to pick and all that kind of stuff, then what in the world do we do? Right. Amen? I'm telling you, we don't know, and we called to preach, and God's calling them, and they got a choice to make. And these folks chose and were ordained to have eternal life because of what Jesus did, and they put their faith and their trust in him. Amen? All right, let's look at one more thing, if you will. Let's look at the confusion of the perturbed. Now, the Jews were stirred up. They were upset, right? Look in verse number 49. It says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You know what that means? They're here in Antioch, but the word of God starts going all round about. Amen. Goes to all these places. The word of God gets spread out. And as it's doing that, you know what that did? That made the Jews madder. How dare them get out and tell somebody else about our God and him saving them? Well, we better get blowed up over that. Amen? Isn't that crazy? Well, how dare that church down the road have a revival and people get saved? I mean, that's about how dumb that is. But that's exactly what's going on. I mean, I'm telling you, the jealousy, the anger, the rage, all of that has built up in these Jewish folks. And they, as we like to say sometimes, they plumb lost their religion. Amen? And that's all they got's religion, and they done lost that. So, they're in trouble, aren't they? But it says, look in verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I want you to see this, the confusion. I mean, what do they do? All they want to do, all the devil wants to do is cause confusion. Anytime you see confusion come, it is because it's of the devil. The Bible says he is the author of confusion. The Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of a lie. I'm just telling you who the devil is. And when you see those things going, you know he's working in the midst of everything that's going on. You see that? The word of the Lord gets and first of all, you see the abounding of this gospel. It spreads out. It does what it's supposed to do. But second of all, not only you see the abounding of the gospel, you see the anger of those opposed to the gospel. But the Jews. Oh, God's got them. Man, they're having revival. But the Jews are not having it. They got that lip pooched out. I mean, that rooster's got up there and crowed on it. I mean, man, they're mad. Right. And they don't like what's going on around here. Amen? Right. One time, many years ago, they used to say that Lady Astor, a well-known socialite in the English community in the days of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was he was just kind of bold, and he was the Prime Minister of England. And Lady Astor, they just didn't get along. They clashed. She came to him one day after he'd done something in his duties as Prime Minister and done something for the government, and she didn't think too highly of it. She came to him and she said, "Sir, if I were your wife, I would give you a drink laced with poison." He looked at her and said, "Ma'am, if you are my wife, I'd drink it." Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, that's about how the Jews felt toward Paul. "We'd just like to kill you if we could, if we could get rid of you." And it says here that they stirred up the devout and the honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. According to Josephus, the historian that wrote about Jewish antiquities and histories, his writings say that when the Jewish people came into a city outside of Israel like this, whenever they set up their synagogues, that they would go and court the favor of these people that they would call devout, or that they would call, well, probably even devout and honorable women. Somehow they would get them in, they would get in good with these outstanding citizens. And usually it was the women, okay? You'd say, now, why would it be the women? The men didn't want to become Jewish proselytes, most of them. You see here it mentions that there are some of the Gentile that have become proselytes. But usually it wasn't the men. And the main thing that the men would balk against was the circumcision that was required by the Jewish religion. So the men would stay away. The women would come in and take part in, and they would get in good, if you would use that terminology. They'd get in good with these women, and now they've got an opportunity to use them. They come to him and say, oh, well, madam, you're honorable and you're well thought of, and you're connected in the circle. Do you know what these upstart two men that have come in here and what they've done and how they're trying to undermine our religion, and how dare they? You know, they began to talk them and butter them up, and then finally they got them stirred up against Paul and Barnabas. And those women would go to the men of the city and say, well, you know how that it is. The ladies get talking to the men, and the men are going to do something, right? Somebody say amen right there about that. I mean, usually that's the way it goes. And that's exactly what has happened here. You see the abound in the gospel, but then, as I say, you see the anger of those that are opposed. I mean, William Barclay, a preacher from years ago, this is the way he said it. He said, the Jews saw the heathen, the Gentiles, as chaff to be burnt. They were like the hull of the wheat. And they saw them as chaff. They should be burned. But it said, but Jesus saw them as a harvest that needed to be reaped. Amen? And that's exactly what's going on right here. The Jews have gotten so wound up, they hated what was going on. And they said, oh, how dare them lowly old dog, they're not worth that. Don't even waste giving them the Word of God. We're way above them. Amen? I'm just telling you, we all know that story. And we ought to sometimes hang our head in shame over some of the things that's gone on through history. But I'm telling you, every man needs the gospel. Amen. You know, sometimes you look at it and say, oh, those people over there in the Middle East, they need to be blowed off the face. They need Jesus. Right. People in China, I don't like their policies. I don't like what they stand for. I don't like their government. Those people need Jesus, though. Amen. And North Korea, they need Jesus. Amen? I'm just telling you. They're being fed a bunch of junk and a bunch of lies, and they just need Jesus to save them. Amen? And if the Lord would do that, why, it'd make all the world difference. Amen? All right, look. You see the anger of those that are opposed, right, to Paul and Barnabas. But last of all, I want you to notice the answer that comes from Paul and Barnabas. It says they have raised so much of a fuss that it says persecution against Paul and Barnabas, that they expel them out of their coasts. And that literally means they escorted them to the city limits and shoved them out, said, leave and don't ever come back. They could make an edict. They could pass a law, if you would, and said, you can't come back here anymore. Amen? And that's what it sounds like they did. They expelled them. But don't you notice what Paul and Barnabas done? They took off their shoes and they kicked them together and knocked the very dust off of their shoes and said, let this be a testimony against you. You know where that came from? Over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse number 14, Jesus said, if they won't have you, then kick the dust off your feet. Just tell them, you know, goodbye and walk. In other words, if they don't want you, then, you know, hey, you're on your own and you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin and of your life and of your choices right now. You got to deal with that. It says, man, they shook the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Now, that sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? You say, preacher, should we do that? Well, they did it. And if Paul does it, sometimes there's just some people As we say, we wiped our hands. I mean, you just got to come to a place and say, God, I've done all I can, and I don't know what else to do. And God said, just, you know, go on, move on. There's somebody else. I mean, you've tried. And Paul did his best. Paul preached his heart out. And they said, we don't want it. And Paul said, okay, have it your way. You're gonna regret this move and this notion and this mindset. But that's what's going to happen. But notice what it says. I mean, Paul went to the next town, him and Barnabas, getting ready to preach. But the disciples that were left behind there, and the disciples, and it's talking about the folks that were still there in Antioch, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Those are those that have believed in Jesus. They just began to grow in Him. And you know what? Instead of falling under the recommendations and the cursings and the blasphemy of this Jewish Christ, they just got stronger in the Lord. And you know what God did for them? He poured joy down on the inside. Poured more joy. They got more of the Holy Ghost. You know what they just did? They just grew in the Lord. In spite of their circumstance, in spite of Paul being and Barnabas being kicked out of the city, in spite of all that, they just went ahead and said, praise God, we're saved. Amen? And sometimes you just got to do that. Just got to go on. Amen? All right, we're going to leave Antioch, and now they're going to come to Iconium. We'll look at that in the next chapter. We'll get into that thought. But they're getting ready to leave that area. They're making their move, and they've got a way to go around. They're going to go all the way around from Iconium down to Lystra, Derbe, and then they're going to come back to go to Perga, and then they're going to head back home. Eventually, we're going to make that trek. But, I mean, you think about this. As I said, from Perga to Antioch, they've got to go through a mountainous region. That's over 100 miles. And they're doing that on foot. They didn't take the next plane. They didn't get an Uber or a Lyft. They didn't have anything like that. They just did it by the old foot route, and they made their way. And now they're going to make their way. And you look at this that they're doing. I mean, this is a big trip to have to do a lot of it, most of it, by walking. But you know what Paul said? He said, I don't care what comes my way. I just want to do what I can do for Jesus and see people saved. And that's why he's doing this. Why don't he just give up, throw in a towel, and quit? He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He said, I'm going to go on and preach him. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on, if you would, and let's sing a verse of a song. And maybe you need to come pray about some things. You know, a long time ago, I was talking with a guy one time. He was talking about being a pharmaceutical representative, and he was talking about going somewhere and somebody had something they wanted to show him about a product they thought might. He said, I got in there, and he said, I had some of the legal people with me. He said, we got to looking at this thing, and he said, one of them guys turned around and they said, hey guys, let's get out of here before something gets on us that Ajax won't take off. Amen. That's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing. They said, let's get out of here. Because this is not a real good environment for us to be in. And woe be unto them that reject the gospel of Jesus. Let's stand tonight if we will. What are we going to say?